Blog Talk Radio.
Different places. I'm a soul winner. I love to win souls. And the Bible says, them that win of souls is wise. And so about 2 months ago, I go to the diocese clinic and I was asking the different nurses, I said, do you believe that all Christians are hypocrites? And all 30 people told me the same answer. They said yes.
Wow.
And it really broke my heart. And I asked them why. And they said, they gave me a horrible story of some incident that took place in the church. And every time they told me a story, the Holy Ghost prompted me to apologize on behalf of the pastor or the prophet or the minister or whatever it was. I took on the responsibility because I am a part of the body of Christ.
Yes.
I am proud to be saved. I'm proud to be sanctified and in the church. I'm proud to be a part of the fivefold ministry gifts. But because of that one or two or five incidents, they believe that every Christian is a hypocrite.
Wow.
And now that person either go to church periodically or they don't go to church at all.
Yes.
And so that's a travesty to me that that situation has caused them to walk away from the church.
And then, you know, when one walk and they give their experiences, that means some of their families will now believe it. Some of their families will now walk.
Right.
And, you know, and it's so disheartening for the body of Christ because we are one body fitly joined together.
Yes.
So when one hurt, we all hurt. When one is affected, we all are affected. And we don't want, because of your experience with one bad leader, to cause you to judge God foolishly, as the scripture says.
Right.
There are so many people that judge him foolishly, amen,
yes.
because of different unlearned or just maybe Christians that is not dealing with the issues at hand. So what's the one thing you want to talk about before we go deep? Let's talk about the first thing. Let us discuss this. We're going to speak about where is the church after this? After this whole pandemic, where does it leave the church? Where does it leave the body of Christ? We know that in one organization, we have lost 30 bishops. And we have been speaking about the changing of the guards for almost a year now, how the Lord is ushering in, amen. But it hurts so bad for us to lose 30
bishops.
That is a major number in an organization, 30 bishops. And that organization is hurting right now. What word can we say to the people for them to hold on and not abandon ship in the middle of the pain that they're facing?
You know, I believe that when there's major transition like that, the people of God that has been preparing on the backside of the mountain need to arise up and take their rightful places.
Yes, Lord.
Do not get scared. Do not abandon ship. Do not tuck tail and run. It is time for you to take all of the teachings, all of the prayers, all of the rearings. Listen, we have been serving for years.
Yes,
it's time for you to stop sitting down. It's time for you to stand up and get to work.
Yeah, we have to get to work.
Yes.
Because most of our leaders is gone. God made that decision. You know, the Bible speaks that the wicked don't do it. He says that the wicked's the sword of the Lord. So a sword is in his hands. And
yes.
So God is an executor. And so we have to understand that when he starts doing things like this, we have to trust his process. But when he starts speaking of the changing of the guards, I mean, I'm getting ready to give a shift in the earth.
Yes.
You know, and in this earth realm. So all of you Alma Bearers, all of you what they call them, bishops in training, adjutants, that's
yes.
the word. All of you adjutants, rise, like the woman of God said, rise up, stand strong, become that Elisha generation, amen, become that Elisha generation that's going to stand up and say, okay, we're going to stand with our leaders. And I want to say to the people that is not in that position, please, don't have respect to persons.
Yeah.
That's a good one to talk about.
Yeah.
Don't have respect. My bishop going, I ain't going back there no more because nobody can speak like my bishop. If the Lord took that opportunity to take him home, he won. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So now what God is ushering in to take care of your soul now, you need to have an open spirit and an open heart to receive what God has left in place for you. So a lot of us may be hurting and may not feel, well, this is not the one I'm used to.
Right.
But the scripture says that we can't have respect the person.
Let me say something. Bishop was awesome for that time.
Yes.
But it's a new dispensation.
It is.
And let's remember, the vision is still the vision.
Yes, Lord.
Run with the vision.
Yes.
Don't just run with the man. Run
yes.
with the vision. Come
yes,
on, somebody. God gave that man of God a vision, and that vision is still there for y'all to run with it. Their souls need to be saved. There's people still need to be delivered. You listen, you need to walk in your calling. Don't be faithful to a man. Be faithful to the
God.
Vision.
Yes, Lord. And to that
vision.
Vision,
yes.
Because when the Lord called you to that house, he had a purpose.
Yes.
We're going to go to commercial at this time, and we'll be back with you in 1 second. See you in a minute.
I
want to talk about understanding the roles of preservation and sanctification, and then we can talk about.
Show. You can get alerts when we go live. Save this number to call in and voice your opinion. Be our co-host call-in guest, 516-590-0135.
Throughout the Word of God, there are many accounts of the tears of a mother. When a mother cries, whether young or old, there's a message in those tears. This Mother's Day, Messenger Dr. Shailandra Caldwell, a powerful, dynamic preacher and recording artist, will address the subject, When Mothers Cry. May 10th at the HC Multicultural Center at 11:30 a.m. Due to our limited seating, you can also view us on our YouTube channel at Hospital Church of Jacksonville or our Facebook page at the Hospital Church of Jacksonville and our website, www.throwbackchurch.com.
Welcome back to the Deeper Look Show, and it's time to go a little deeper. And so now we're getting ready to discuss some issues and some things that is going on, and we're going to start off with Pastor Angel, amen, and the things that the Lord has given her, and we will go back and forward.
Believers, listen, believe it or not, we have a great responsibility. Our responsibility and our role is the preservation of sanctification.
Woo!
There are so many atrocities that's happening in the body of Christ. And the definition of atrocities is the abandonment of religion.
Wow.
And the renouncing of religion. That means somebody is
wow.
not living up to their holy standard.
Wow.
Somebody is reneging on their salvation.
Wow.
Somebody
yes,
is watering down what holiness really stands for. And a lot of that is going on in this hour. We can't really tell a saint from an ain't. And
come
you
on.
Hear people preaching it, but it is really the truth. Everybody is a Christian, But a lot of people are not saved.
Come on, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? Sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And it is a lifestyle. It's not clothing.
Ooh.
Amen. It's not speaking in tongues. Amen. It is the way you live. It is the way you treat people. And I believe when you treat people right, people will know you're saved.
That's right.
Amen.
Let
when
your
you're
life
willing to get, yes, when you're willing to get it right with somebody, when you put your gift at the altar and forgive somebody.
Yes.
Amen. There is some telltale signs if you were saved.
Yes.
But anybody can be a Christian.
Yes. And that's, you know, the one thing that we're missing in this hour, accountability.
Accountability,
that's what we're missing in this hour. So when we're talking about reserving sanctification, we have to deal with accountability.
Yes.
And the definition of accountability means a person that's required or expected to give account of your actions and your decisions, to be responsible for you, and to speak on your character.
Yes.
So, you know, and it's a shame. So I want to know, to a lot of pastors and a lot of leaders, who are you accountable to?
Yes.
Who can really, really check you? Who can go to you and come to you and give you godly love, but also godly correction? Who can really, really, who are you accountable to? We have so many people that we're requiring them to be accountable to us, but now who are you accountable to?
Right.
Who can speak on your behalf or repent on your behalf because of your actions and the
right.
things that you are doing? We need to link up with other leaders that will pray for us, that will stay accountable to us,
yes.
that when we get ready to fall, they will be able to be there for us.
Ooh,
and so we have so many people that need a PR because they don't have nobody accountable to them.
Oh my God.
So now they're saying what they're saying out of their mouth. There's some things that their actions is not lining up, and then they give us a spirit of being nonchalant,
right.
which means that I'm unconcerned about whatsoever you say.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the reaction of a saint.
Yes.
We cannot be unconcerned.
Yes.
We cannot be unconcerned in this hour. We have babies dying. We have our sons and our daughters are being killed on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the leaders that's going to stand up and say, hey, the only Jesus that they're going to see is you.
It's
so
your
if
life.
Your life
yes.
is out of order, that knocks everything else out of order. And it's a shame that you have to go at the beginning of the show and continue to apologize on the behalf of the church, and I've done it many times. I be preaching, and the Lord had me prophesying to people and apologizing for the church that caused them the error. And we cannot say, oh, that was their soul. It was them. No, there are people that are not as strong as you.
Yes.
Your mouth is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to check your mouth? You don't want God to start checking your mouth.
Right.
Because he'll
dangerous.
Check it.
Yes.
You know, the one thing he said, the accountability, he was so angry at Eli by his sons, because they was doing anything in the house. And I'm going to talk about that a little later because
right.
we only got 20 minutes. He was so angry with Eli. You know what I'm saying? He killed his sons. And I'm telling y'all, then he came and did the same thing. Amen. He did the same thing to Aaron's sons
yes,
because
he
was angry. You got, there was no accountability. And the ones that knew they were doing wrong, oh, Shalandra, shut up, and did not check them, God killed Eli
for it. He killed him.
He made Eli train Samuel to replace him.
Oh my God.
This is crazy.
Right
he made
word.
Eli in the
right
word
in
of
the
God,
word.
According to 1 Samuel 2, he made him train his replacement.
Yes.
You don't want God to train your replacement. The replacement is in the house. You don't want you to be up there preaching all this time and God have the one that you thought wasn't going to make it.
Right.
You've been training
house.
All along your replacement.
Right.
We got to be very, very careful. The
very
Bible
careful.
Says that God did it again when he did it with David and Saul.
Yes.
Shut up, Shalandra.
Yes.
I'm telling y'all, he
stuff.
Will train your replacement right in front of you.
Yes,
and as my
will.
Apostle said, he'll fire you and you'll keep on
working
and not getting paid. That means you just doing it for nothing. But at the end, when he starts saying payday, where's the account?
Yes,
listen,
Jesus.
I don't want to preach all my life and be an heir and wake up my eyes in hell on a technicality.
Right.
You
didn't
know,
I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? And God said, depart from me, you worker
of iniquity.
God's going to let you work. God's going to let you flow. God's going to let you shine. God's going to let you have your name here, your name there. Because get this, you wanted prestige. You wanted a stage.
Come
you
on.
Wanted likes. You wanted all these things in
camera action.
But God's going to say to you, depart from me, you worker
work
of iniquity. I didn't know you.
Yes.
And see, your relationship with God keep you right.
Yes.
I don't want to be famous and don't have a relationship with God that keep me right.
Come
Hallelujah,
on.
Somebody. Hallelujah. I want a relationship with God. I want to be pleasing in his sight. I want to be famous and still be a castaway.
And he
it's
says,
right
they
in the
that,
word of God.
It's in the word. He said, they that know their God will be strong and do exploits. So when I start looking up what the know means to be intimate with your God.
Yes,
you've got to have an intimate relationship
yes,
with your God.
Jesus.
And there's no way in the world that I have an intimate relationship with Overseer Larry
Caldwell for 20 plus years, and he's not able to check me when I'm wrong.
Oh,
so
I
if
like
you
that.
Have a relationship with your God, he's not going
to
let
you
do anything you want to do. He's going to check you when you're wrong.
Because
he's
chasing it
who
he
loves.
It's
man,
right
I'm
in the Word
you.
Of God. Let
you.
Me read this. 1 John, the 4th chapter, and verse 1. It said, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether it be of God.
Yes,
that, Lord. That is why we have to have checks and balances.
Come on.
Listen, that's why we have to be around people that have the anointing for real.
Yes.
It's not about gifts. Everybody want to prophesy, but can they rebuke you?
Yes.
Under the spirit of God. Amen. I don't care how great you can sing, but if you ain't tithing,
come on.
Sit down somewhere.
Ah!
Come on,
yes,
somebody.
Lord.
That's a 101 for me.
Yes.
That's Christianity 101.
Yes.
See, a lot of times some of these small foxes, that's what's for the vine.
Yes.
Let's get it together, saints.
He said you should know the tree by the what?
Fruit it bear.
What is your tree bearing?
Yes.
What do we see? Because you cannot be in a pulpit full of lust. What do the people see?
Oh,
I'm tired
Holy
of
God.
Certain trees we're not allowed to eat off of. And it's a shame because we're supposed to. The Bible says that every tree that beareth not fruit, what he said, I cast it down and I burn it in the fire.
Right.
So even us, the Bible spoke in Galatians 5 about the good fruits. And then he also spoke about those fruits of the
flesh.
We got to wash those fleshly fruits. And
yes.
We, especially in leadership,
yes,
operate
in leadership.
With the, and we having people to eat that. You're eating my lust. You're eating my perversion. Help me, God.
Help us, Lord.
So we got to be careful what we're putting out on the table for the people to eat.
Help us, Lord. Jesus. Help us, God.
It was a word Bishop said today. What was that word that your husband, I call him Bishop all the time.
Listen,
what did he talk about today? It was a word that caught my attention.
He put it on Facebook. I said, baby, you always got these big words. But it's called nefarious. It's extreme wickedness.
Woo.
Extreme wickedness. And we have apostles and prophets and ministers
and
that's operating in extreme wickedness. And they call it position.
Yeah.
I'm a man and woman of God. Don't call out my sin.
Yeah.
You know, I can have a wife and a girlfriend at the same time. Don't deal with that.
No.
Because I'm the apostle. Amen, somebody. They can have all kind of situations going on. That's extreme wickedness. But you still want me to follow you? The Bible say to follow them as they follow Christ.
So as soon as they stop.
Yes, as soon as you decide not to follow this Bible, I don't have to follow you. But you want me to cover you in your dirt. I don't have to do that. Oh, you rebelling against vision. No, I'm rebelling
against
sin. It's a difference.
It's sin.
But you want me to cover you while you drunk. No, I'm rebelling against that because God does not require me to do anything that's against his word.
Yes, and we have to be careful because, you know, I had so many people during the season when we were, when I first started pastoring,
mm-hmm.
and they often say, let me cover you. The Lord told me to cover you. But, you know, my husband came to me, and he said, before we make any decision, before we chose to, you know, because we knew our pastor taught us holiness. We were brought up in a church where holiness is right. Even when I'm wrong, holiness is still right, somebody. It's still right.
It is.
And the first thing they used to say was, God sent me here to cover you. And I used to always ask about their life. Well, you cannot, what is an umbrella good in the rain if it's full of holes?
Yes, that's good.
I'm still getting wet. I'm still getting wet. You covering me, I'm still getting wet. We have to be careful what we allow to cover us. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, because it makes no difference of having an umbrella, and we're still suffering. We're still going through the things. Or the umbrella is so full of holes, and nobody's accountable. The umbrella is not accountable to anybody.
Right.
You know, and
right.
I believe in that word. Everybody always say, well, probably always somebody's got to have somebody accountable for. Because sometimes it is good for us. I link myself with other leaders that I know living holy.
Yes.
If you see something wrong, I'm saying something wrong, I'm doing. Don't tell the world. Talk to me.
Yes.
Help me get it right. Because this is the hour now that we got to be accountable for each other. We got to pray for each other. We got to watch each other. And we have to be in the spirit of humility to receive when God is trying to help us with our issues. And I hope somebody accept that today, that this is not a throw off. This is truth. We have to be willing. The church is in a turmoil. The government
is
trying to shut our buildings.
Shut it down.
They are closing us down. We are being, Jacksonville alone lost almost 1,000 churches to the fire marshal. Now they're forcing us to go live. And as Bishop said earlier, once we go live, now they have us in their hand. They could cut this internet off at any time. Where is the body of Christ going to go? Because if I could pull you, I could pull your people. We got to be wise as serpents.
serpents, but harmless as doves. We got to know what's going on, but we got to stop fighting in the body and let each other help us because we can help one another.
Right. Thank you, Jesus.
Go ahead.
I believe we need to get a plan.
Yeah.
I believe Bishop was telling us this because the body of Christ has to have a plan in case the government decides no more internet.
Yeah.
No more streaming.
No more TV.
Listen, is your house holy enough to have service and the anointing fall?
Come on.
Is your car anointed enough where you can win a soul right there in your car?
Yes.
Listen, the power of God don't just reside
in
the
church. Yes.
Come on, we have to carry this thing. I know I'm a glory carrier.
Yes, come on.
I know.
Yes, Lord.
My husband tells me all the time, he say, baby, can we just go to dinner? I'm sorry. Can we just have a regular? No. If you are a glory carrier, that means
it's
the
everywhere.
Holy Ghost can pull on you at any time and get the glory at any time.
Yes, Lord.
So we got to have a plan in place to where when that happens to us, we have to be in position to win the world. Listen, we supposed to be world changers.
Come on.
Amen. You talking about God is sending you to the world, but can he send you to the neighborhood?
Yes.
Can he send you to your job? Some of y'all can't even win souls on your job because you the nastiest person there.
Come on.
Let's take a deeper look.
That's a deeper look. I asked my daughter one time, she runs track for the University of Tennessee, and she could speak in tongues greater than the verse, and she's a preacher and singer and worshiper, and she was jumping around, and all the people, and I said, excuse me, I said, how long have you been on the track team? She said, 4 years, I'm getting ready to graduate. I said, how many people on your track team know you're filled with the Holy Ghost?
Uh-oh.
And she said, I invite one or two to church. If you can't invite your whole track team to the church because your whole track team know that you are a woman of God, something is wrong. And then one night I was in the middle of the night, and I know she's going to laugh, but I was in the middle of the night and I was praying, and the Lord woke me up and said, call and say, get out the bar now, get out. Uh-oh. And she was like, that's what one of my friends invited me in the middle of the night. 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up at my feet and the Holy Ghost said, it scared her so bad she never went back to the bar since. It's been 10 years. But the Lord woke me up. She was accountable to me, so he touched my spirit with what she was struggling with. So when your leader is talking to you, your pastor is coming to you, last night God woke me up and told me to tell my evangelist that was not his wife, get out of bed. You know, in the middle of the night, and I'm like, Lord, please let me sleep. But they will tell you today they are saved today, feel today, because they allow someone else to be accountable for them. But if your leader is losing sleep, because you're any kind of way, tell truth properly, we don't sleep. Many nights the Lord wake us up and just tell us to cry out.
Right.
Sin is in the camp.
Right.
You don't know how many times that, you know, we have missed meals. We've had to fast. We've had to pray because we're praying and interceding for you. I'm going to let you know today that get up under somebody that can love and to cover you for real.
Yes.
That will call out sin but love you tomorrow. We're going to still love you the same.
Jesus.
We're going to still love you the same. Our love has not changed. Amen. It was just making you better. So we're going to go to a commercial. We're going to come back. We're going to pray because the show is going to be a little short tonight. But we love everybody. We're not finished.
We got 5 minutes.
Yes, Lord. Four commercial. Okay, y'all. Oh, I'm so excited because I don't know what happens when me and this beautiful woman get together.
Yes, we get excited.
But we were sitting up here and just discussing some of these issues in the church. So not only are we dealing with, let's talk about leaders and a lot of decisions that they are making that's affecting the body.
I want to say this, leaders, every time your lifestyle does not line up with the word of God, you give somebody in the pews an excuse to do the same.
Come on.
You are leading them astray.
Yes.
You cannot do what you want to do because of your position. Every time you do something that's against the word of God, somebody else say, well, I can do it too. I can cuss too.
You can't give no occasion for the devil.
No, you
can't
cannot.
Give no occasion for the devil. And don't trust me, I'm not saying you have to be perfect. You never will error. I'm saying that when you fall into sin or when you error, you find somebody and say, pray for me. There's a demon on me and it's driving me. I need somebody to lay hands on me. Glory to God. I need help. I don't need judgment. I just need help.
I need
that's what we're trying to do tonight. We're not trying to talk about a leader. We're trying to tell you to grab you an accountability partner.
Right.
Grab you a prayer warrior. Grab you somebody. Because you can't go to the pews. They're not going to quite understand.
Gonna
you go to somebody, another person that you can trust that will be able to carry your spirit.
Yes.
And I say all the time, that's why armor bearers, get yourselves right. Get yourself in a position where you'll be able to feel, you know, the things that's getting ready to happen. And you don't even have to say nothing to your leader. But because you feel what they're fighting, you'll be able to pray and go to God so much for your leader that your leader don't even know how to change was lifted. My husband was fighting a battle. And he don't mind me saying because he testified about it. My husband was fighting a battle about 7 years ago, and he had picked up cigarettes. He'd already testified for his testimony.
Thank you, Lord.
And it was a one young lady in the church. She denied. She was 15 years old. She wasn't no pastor. She wasn't none of that. But she laid down before God. The Lord spoke through that baby. And that baby said, I speak to you, overseer, and every habit you got is broken now in the name of Jesus. When that baby said that, my husband fell to the floor, didn't wake up for a whole hour later. He woke up free. You understand me?
Hey.
And it took a 15-year-old child. I was praying. I didn't want nobody to know. I'll pray for him at home and cover my husband. But God took a 15-year-old child. So I want to let you know when you are in, but she was in an intercessor mode. She probably was in an intercessor mode at 15. That baby was able to call out sin. She didn't embarrass nobody. She had a face to the floor. Didn't even know he walked in the church. But when she called it out, God purified her. So don't you think that you're too good that a leader, as a leader, that you can't have a saint that is interceding for you go before God on your behalf.
Yes, and the Bible said, a broken and a contrite spirit, God won't
despise.
Listen,
yes,
don't let the rock fall on you, leader.
Yeah.
That's a warning. You are living on the edge, but don't live on the edge too long.
Yes.
The mercy of God can run out. And you'll be living in, the grace of God. Don't live in the mercy.
Yeah.
You want to live in the grace of God.
Yeah.
Don't live in the mercy of God.
Yeah.
Listen, fall on the rock. Be broken before God.
Yeah.
And he will heal you. Just like the woman of God said, he will deliver you.
Yes.
He will set you free. And get this, the glory of God will be reattached to your anointing.
Yes, Lord.
Amen, somebody.
And people always say, well, can the glory leave? My son asked me that 2 days ago. I told him, yes.
Sin
was called
yes,
that oil to be lifted up
in
your life.
Oh,
glory
my
to God.
She don't know
about her. That's why David cried out, and he began to say, Lord, I want you to purge me. I want you to wash me. You know, he began to say, I want you to renew the right spirit. So another for him to say it was the right spirit, that means something that went wrong.
Yes.
And David recognized it.
Right.
So I know, y'all, we don't have time. Thank you again. Woman of God, we pray for every leader.
Yes, we do.
In the name of Jesus,
Jesus,
pray for
God,
every
Rabbi.
Servant. We ask, oh God, that you would come and you would touch your leaders again. You told us in your word to cry loud and spare not. Lift up our voice like a trumpet, God. Show my people their sins and the house of Jacob their iniquities. God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you'll begin to touch every heart of the leader, that you will bring us back to Joel 1:13, where you said that the ministers laid before the porch of the altar of God, and they cried out for the people, Lord, spare your people, God. We pray right now, God, that you'll begin to convict the hearts of the leaders, God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, God, that we'll return back to the cross, that we'll return back to what is right, that we will return back, God, to the place where we first loved you. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that a supernatural anointing, a conviction will hit the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus, God, we ask, oh God, that you'll begin to purify us, God, even the more, even the things, God, that's in our heart, that's in our mind. Purge us, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, with hyssop and we'll be clean. If you
wash us,
we will be whiter than snow. And God, we're asking, oh God, that you send such an anointing in your body for the last and evil days, that every sinner and every backslider will return back to your house, God, where the love is, God. But we know, God, that with love and kindness, God, have you drawing them, God. Draw right now in the name of Jesus. Draw them back. And we speak to every wounded soldier. Be thou made whole. In your mind, physically, mentally, and spiritually, be thou made whole. We speak to every wounded leader, be thou made whole. We speak to everyone that's been wounded, be thou made whole by the power of the Holy Ghost. In the mighty name of Jesus. And God will give your name glory. We give your name honor and praise, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you for watching The Deeper Look. We thank you for the glory of God. We thank you again, Pastor Angel, for this fireball. We thank God for his prophetess being here. And we love you. We'll see you again on next Thursday on behalf of Bishop Jackson and Hospital Church. Be blessed.
Due to our limited seating, you can also view us on our YouTube channel at Hospital Church of Jacksonville or our Facebook page at the Hospital Church of Jacksonville and our website, www.throwbackchurch.com.
Are you interested in getting your product or event out to the world? Consider advertising with us. Send us an email at deeperlook2020@gmail.com. Ask our team about letting us help you get your message out to the world or call 904-878-4680. Join the Deeper Look family. We would like you to like us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/deeperlookshow or subscribe to our YouTube channel, Deeper Look Show. You can get alerts when we go live. Save this number to call in and voice your opinion. Be our co-host call-in guest, 516-590-0135.
We take your story serious. Do you have an issue that you would like Dr. Jackson to deal with? Are you a whistleblower? Do you have information that needs to be exposed about the harming of people? Contact us today with your story and contact information, and please send corresponding proof. We do not buy stories or use this platform to hurt people, but we listen to both sides of the story. Email us today at deeperlook2020@gmail.com.
Dr. Jackson would like you to support the Deeper Look family financially. You can show it through various methods. Cash App, hashtag Deeper Show. Venmo, Deeper Show. Zelle, deeperlook2020@gmail.com. Or you can mail all contributions to Deeper Look Show, care of HC Multicultural Center, 6651 Crestline Drive, Jacksonville, Florida, 32211.
Content disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in the media or comments on this show are those of the speaker or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by our ministry. All material is gathered from other sources, and we only comment on publication and previous social formatted information. Due to the social nature of this information, it may contain content copyrighted by another entity or person. Deeper Look claims no copyright to said content. The Deeper Look can't be held accountable for the copyrighted content. The Deeper Look is a messenger and sharer of information and strives to verify but cannot warrant the accuracy of copyrights or completeness of the information on this format. If you have a complaint about something or find your content is being used incorrectly, please contact the Deeper Look prior to making a copyright claim. Any infringement was not done on purpose and will be rectified to all parties' satisfaction.
There it is. 2, 3, 4.
Okay. That's one check.
Okay, that's the better logo, not the other one, huh?
Well, the problem is the other logo is not trans.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, it says it is, but it ain't.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, you have a lower third trim, though? And you don't want me to change what you already got? Okay. Okay. So, servant?
Mm-hmm.
And then D-R-R?
D-E-R-R.
D-E-R-R, I-C-K?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And Mercer?
M-E-R-C-E-R.
Okay. And the ministry is what, though?
DM2 Ministries.
DM?
2 Ministries.
2?
Yes, sir.
Ministry? Ministry or ministry?
S. Ministries.
Oh,
M Nistri.
Okay. So next question, Cash App.
What was it? $ Derek Mercer Jean. You can just do my personal one.
You know I'm not paying you in mind, don't you? No, I haven't got to that point. Well, I'm I'll give you my underwriter's business. I promise. Countdown. Where is it?
Testing one, two. Okay.
No, which profile are you on?
Just a 1, 2, 3.
So it's So Marissa,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting ready to go what you call
him. Okay.
And then you'll be on.
Okay.
So, you ready?
Yes, sir. Good evening, or almost good night to you. I want to say hello to everyone. Go ahead and just want to wait a brief moment to get everybody opportunity to bring everyone in. Go ahead and share, like, let us know that you are here. The time for reset, the time for the word of the Lord for tonight, just to just encourage us as we prepare to do great things in the kingdom of God. I pray that your week has been going great thus far. I'm not going to be on long at all. So I'm just going to wait a brief moment, give you an opportunity to go ahead and like and share and bring everyone on. Let's get everybody in here. Get everybody else in here. Just going to give it just a brief moment. Please let us know you're here. Please let us know you are here. Let us know you're here. Go ahead and let them know that we are live. And we are ready to empower and encourage each and every one of you. Of course, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall always do nothing but rejoice and be glad therein. What a blessing it is to be alive and well. So much trouble and things that are going on all around us, but we're so grateful for God and all the things that he is yet doing. One of the greatest challenges sometimes in our lives is being able to have faith even in the midst of crisis. Of course, we know about the current pandemic that is going on, but one thing that I love is knowing that in spite of all of it, that God is in control, and realize that I can look to him, for he is our help, he is our comfort, he is our strength, he is indeed our peace. Go ahead and bring your friends and family. Hopefully, I know some of you, you're about to shut down in just a few, but what a moment it is to be able to come and be empowered, inspired, what we call this, be inspired while you rewire. We know you're regrouping, you're developing, but what is it that God is saying? So we just want to come on for a few minutes. Of course, over the course of the last few weeks, we have been discussing from the book that we just released a few months ago concerning the title is called Reset. And I do believe that God has placed us in a time that he's resetting things. He's putting things in motion. He's causing us to be realigned. What a time that we're not just believing God for restoration, but alignment, realigning things in our life, bringing a fresh start and resetting and rebranding. One of the things is I love about God is that he will allow some of the hardest situations to come in our life only to show us how beautiful he knows how to take some of the most ugliest things and just make them beautiful. He knows how the Bible says it this way. He gives you beauty for ashes, and understanding that we're in a time like now that God says that I'll even cause even some of the most ugliest things that you're looking at right now, and I'm going to make it beautiful. I want to read a passage of scripture to you. Go ahead and again, get your pen, your paper, your iPad, whatever it is that you use to write your notes. I want to read a passage of scripture that's ringing in my spirit. It's been ringing in my spirit all day. It's in Isaiah 43, verse number 19. He says it in the King James. I'm going to read it in two different versions. In the King James, he says, "Behold, I will do a new thing." This is Isaiah 43 and 19. "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." But then if you go and look in the New International Version, it says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Here's one of the most beautiful things that I realize about God in this resetting moment is that God is getting ready to do a new thing. The beautiful part of it is that God is going to do a new thing. Who's going to do it through? In you. And so although you're in the time of seems like we're in the wilderness, and in the wilderness is a very hard place, as it believes it's Deuteronomy chapter 8 that reveals how the Bible says he let them, he gives them this knowledge. Moses addresses a generation and he talks about how he led them in the wilderness to humble you. This is a very humbling experience. God has allowed this pandemic and things to happen. This has been such an awareness and a brokenness and a moment of time of awareness where that we have no other choice but really to depend on God. But even in the midst of that, that even while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, God fed them with manna. God has still been providing for you. But God is saying that even in this time that you're in the wilderness, you may be experiencing some of the most hardest moments of your life. I want you to be encouraged to know that it's not going to be this way always, and realize that God says, "I'm getting ready to do a new thing in you. I'm getting ready to do a new thing." You can go ahead and put it on the screen. He's going to do a new thing, a new thing, a new thing. I know you can't perceive it, but you got to see your focus, your perspective, where you turn into changing and realize God is getting ready to do a new thing in my life. I want to know tonight, are you prepared for the new things that God is getting ready to do? I'm talking about not just new in the sense of bringing you as it relates to new people, but even the relationships that God has placed in your life. There's going to be new goals, new developments, new dreams, new aspirations that shall birth and come forth. I want to speak to you tonight that you'd be encouraged to know that in spite of everything that has been going on in your life, God is getting ready to do a new thing. You might as well tell your friends, your family, "I'm looking forward to that. God is getting ready to do a new thing in my life." So over the last few weeks, we've been dealing and talking. I'm moving very hurriedly here. We've been dealing with reset, and as it relates to last week, we concluded for the most part dealing with mastering, or how to master self-discipline. Understanding, first of all, of course, it is a process. It's not something that you can accomplish overnight. It's not something you can accomplish overnight. It's a diligence. But you have to identify your weaknesses. You have to identify your distractions. You have to work through to overcome even temptations. There's a part of a temptation that I want to share with you that I've heard a man of God share one time, and I believe that it's worthy of sharing it with you, is that we have to, even in this time, resist the temptation to quit. So many times that we've allowed ourselves, we've looked at all of the other things that are going on, but sometimes in times like this, sometimes the enemy, and not only the enemy, but things that ourself says, you know, when we depend on our own emotions and our own feelings, you can talk yourself out of keep going. You got to be careful to ignore your fears and rely on your faith. So many times, so many people are in a place that they said that everything that's going on, I'm overwhelmed with what life is happening. And I hear you, man of God, saying that God's going to do a new thing. And I hear you decreeing and declaring that God's going to do some great things in my life. But I'm really in a place in my life where I just feel like I have nothing left. There's some people that are grieving. There's some people that are hurting. Things are happening. But Father, I thank you right now that you're going to push past the pain. You're going to push past the things that is going on and realize that we still have hope in God. Don't allow the circumstances, the situations, the heartbreak, the disappointment to move you out of your God-ordained position. God has more for you. God has more for you. God has more for you. I still believe that the best is still yet to come. We have to make up in our mind that no matter what it looks like, God, don't let
let me lose my passion. Don't let me lose my drive. And then there are times where those are others who lose it. But God is saying, I want to wake it back up in you. I want to build back with you, not just from a performance state, but I want our relationship to be intact again. Do you remember how you and God used to be so close? Every now and then, the old church used to say it this way. He said, take me back, Lord, to the place when I first received you. That place, that fellowship, when I had a joy. David said it like this, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore it unto me. When I loved worshiping, when I loved our relationship, when I love being in harmony, put me back to play. Life will sometimes try to weigh you down, and the enemy will fight you on every hand, but your hope has to be built. Lord, help me right here. Your hope has to be built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Keep your head up, and whatever you do, you can't give up. You can't give up. Resist that temptation to quit. Don't you throw in the towel. The best is still yet to come. Don't throw in the towel. I need to know a few of you tonight that's going to say that. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm going to hang on in here. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Listen, I'm going to wait until my chains come, all of my appointed time. I'm going to wait till my chains come. We're in a waiting time, but the manifestation of the word of God, the things that he's promised us, the things that he said that he's going to do, Lord have mercy. I just trust his word, for he's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he shall repent. Have he not spoken it, shall he not make it good? I believe the word of the Lord. Resist that temptation to quit. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you give up. Realize this moment, this reconstructing, this rebuilding, this time, this motivation, this creativity, this moment of where God has allowed you to move, so to speak, out of your normal routines. We are creatures of habit. And so one of the challenges is that because we've been prone, I know it's aggravating because so many of us, we're so ready to get back out and get into the world and get into the routines and get into what we consider normal. But I do not want us to go out of this going back the same way that we were. That's right. God doesn't want us to step out of this and be the same individual. Use this time to allow God to work on you in areas and ways so that when you step out of this, it'll be a brand new you. God says, I want to do a new thing. So we talked about so many different matters of the heart and how the emotions are where they are, and understanding the importance of maturity. So I want you to put that on the screen if you can. Maturity, 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 emotional maturity, emotional maturity, allowing myself that even though I feel it, I keep saying this, and I'm going to say it every week, that emotions, remember, they were never to be dictators, but only indicators. They were never to be dictators, but they were only to be indicators, okay? And so allowing myself to realize that I have to mature. God wants us to be healthy. In other words, we talked about the immature aspects of it, of how we have gone through the routines of doing church, but not necessarily being really close to God. So we're moving out of the performance place. Hopefully you've been in a place where you've been quieting your spirit. You've been reading your word. His law. Come on. That's the word. I love the word. His law does he meditate day and night. His law does he meditate. We have to rehearse the word meditation. Meditate. You got to allow it to speak back to you over and over. His law does he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree. Huh? Come on. Planted by the rivers of water. See, God wants to bring you to a place where you're getting ready to bring forth fruit, but you got to be planted. And the power of it is you need the P-L-A-N. You need the plan. You need the plan. So we're not stepping out of this without strategy. God says, I want to release to you my plan. My plan, my plan. What has God revealed to you lately? Mm-hmm. Take a moment. I want you to journal that for a moment. What has been revealed? What has God revealed? What has God said to me lately? What idea, what concept, what principle, what things have God? Come on, catch that tonight. What is it that God's been releasing in my spirit? I hope that you haven't just been resting, but you've been getting downloads. Come on. God says, I want to release downloads to you. There are things that I specifically want to say to you. I want to say this nation is in trouble. This world, things around us is going crazy. What has God been saying? What is the PLAN? How am I going to step out of this place? What is it exactly, God, that you want me to do? Not just a plan for me, but the plan for my family, the plan for those that I'm connected to, my children, those of you that are married, the husband and wife. What is your plan? What is it that you see? That's why he tells us, he told them to write the vision, make it plain. I need a vision. I need a vision. I need a vision. What do you see for yourself in this resetting moment? God is saying, I want to know, what do you see? Where's your perspective? See, I will do a new thing. You got to see it. See, I will do a new thing. See, I will do a new thing. God say, I'm getting ready to do a new thing. But what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? So we're moving out of that place. We're being careful. We're allowing ourselves to be closer to God, getting those downloads, understanding we're dealing with brokenness. We're setting boundaries. One of the things that this COVID-19 has taught me in particular, it has taught us sometimes the idea to want to rebel, the idea to want to rebel and resist because we're frustrated and it's aggravating. It's because of having to be on some level of restriction. And sometimes we're such in a hurry to get out. There's a family member that has transitioned on in my family due to COVID-19. And understanding that it's unfortunate. And so we realize is that this virus doesn't have a respect of person. And what it also shows us at times is that because we're so in a hurry to want to get what we deem as normal, sometimes we don't do a very good job at taking care of ourselves. You got to be wise. You got to be wise. Come on. We got to use wisdom. We got to use wisdom. We got to take better care of ourselves. You got to realize that you are not any good to the people around you if you're not good for yourself. Come on, you got to take care of yourself better. Some of us, the plan for us is we need a more healthy plan. Come on, not that idealistic stuff that we like to set forth in the beginning of the year, but it don't wear off. It wears off in about 2 weeks because we're ready to go back. Understand the junk is what's easy. We love the junk food. We love what we, for me in particular, let me tell you something. I realized something. I'm going to get into it in just a moment tonight. I know something that when some of the most challenging moments, I'm a person that like to dive into chocolate chip cookies. I'll eat excessively Reese's cookies. You can always sometimes identify be considered as what you call emotional eating. Some of us, when we're going through, you can always tell when you're going through, you eat good at first, and then all of a sudden you say, I just got to get me this big old cake, and you don't share it with nobody, just eat it all. You know, you got to be careful and understanding that it works against what you're trying to do. And so realizes that some of the plan is, Lord, help me to be more disciplined in my diet. Not that I can't enjoy the good, but discipline. Help me to be more disciplined because I want to be healthy. Come on. I want to be healthy. I want long life. We can't quote scriptures with long life, he satisfies me, but we don't work with the plan. You got to take care of your bodies. Lord, help us to be wise. This thing is very serious. And so, Lord, in this plan, in this focus, I want to be very intentional. Yes, Lord, help me to be intentional. The plan gives you purpose. It gives you purpose. It gives you vision. It gives you perspective. So realize that when God get the plan of God, I need his plan because it becomes an intentional living. I live waking up not just haphazardly and don't know what I'm doing, but I have something in front of me, knowing what I'm looking towards and what I'm going towards, what I'm working towards and where I'm headed. Where am I headed? I'm heading into some good things and some great things, but I cannot do it without the plan of the Lord. We dealt with unhealthy relationships. We dealt with the signs of unhealthy relationships, understanding where your personal growth is important. Come on, my personal growth. Help me, Lord, to grow up. Yes, Lord, we complain so much, but help me to grow. God, use the situations to grow. God says, I want people in your life that help you, that's concerned about your growth. You need a true accountability partnership. You need true accountability, not just dialogue. Yes, you need fun, but accountability. Who's stretching you? Who's saying, wait a minute, you know what God is saying in your life? How are you managing it? Where you are? Where are you, in your plan? Where are you in what God has set forth in your life? Where are you in the things that God has been speaking in your life? How are you managing? What are you doing? What are some ways that I can support you? What are some ways that I can assist you? What are some ways that I can encourage you even the more? Because I know what God has set forth in your life, accountability. They don't get offended because there's some things that you're choosing not to do anymore. Mm-mm. People who are offended with your growth, that's not a good relationship. We dealt with that, about relationships that drain the life out of you. People who come in your life, don't let them be exhausting. Come on. You need folk that know how to give back, reciprocity, the law, understanding of giving. You may not can give what I can give, but what you give back to me should match a level, certain level of fulfillment, reciprocity. Stop hanging around those that drain you, those who are just always negative. Get those negative people out of your life. You're doing that again. You're putting that again. You're working on that again. The devil is a liar. God is giving you vision. He's giving you, and there are people that's connected to you. There are people that need what God has placed inside of you. God said, I want to bless you tremendously, but you got to do this. You got to work this plan. Make sure you have people in your life that are not negative, but they're supporters, and they want to see you make it. We dealt with weaknesses, being critical, lacking confidence, all of these things. But tonight, what I want to deal with, I want you to write these things down very quickly, is understanding this particular point in stop looking back and focusing on the now. So many people, this is what the Lord dropped in my spirit today, is realizing that so many are allowing what happened yesterday, meaning the past, what has happened before, to hinder their placement now. These are some of the things that is causing this to happen. I want to show you this at all. And what are ways that we're showing that we are in an unhealthy place? It's because in allowing our past to dictate where we are presently, some of us, we're not making choices at all. Many of us have put ourselves in a place where we are literally, when I say a standstill, we are in a place of apathy. We're not doing nothing. And when you're in that place of nothing, when you allow what has happened to you paralyze you, realizing that understanding that you have lost not so much just your way, but you've lost your passion because you're hurt behind what has happened. There's so many people that have said to me, I know I have potential. I know I have greatness inside of me, but I just refuse to do anything. I heard what the man of God said. I heard what's been prayed over my life. I heard what's been spoken into my spirit. I know what's been said, but I'm doing nothing. Waking up every day, nothing. You're frustrated and agitated because you're not doing nothing. Listen, you got to realize that God has some great things that's in store for you. You're not going to feel better about yourself until you step out into what God has given you. I can give you more with that and ways to overcome that, but you'll have to get with us later. Here's another thing is, watch this, not making choices at all. And then here's another thing. You keep picking the wrong type of people without really knowing why. Have you identified why are the people in your life there? Have you identified that? Put that down. Lord, help me to identify why I pick the people that are there. Why are you in my life? Why? Why? I want to give you this definition. Write this down. Write this down. This is good. This is good. Oftentimes, I say this a lot. What's not defined can't be determined. What's not defined can't be determined. What's not defined can't be determined. You don't know where you're headed until you define what it is and why it is that's in your life. What's not defined is not determined. Where are you trying to go? Define why, God, why? Why? And you keep attracting. You have different people, but you keep attracting the same spirit. Lord, help me here. You keep attracting the same spirit in a different body, but you got to identify what is it in me that allows myself to still keep that type of toxic, those toxic traits open in my life. God says, I can't bless you with new fruitful relationships while you're still entertaining and having people in your life that represents the old. It's not that you walk in forgiveness, but you got to realize that forgiveness doesn't always mean restoration. Okay, forgiveness doesn't always necessarily mean restoration. All right, why do I keep attracting? All right, here's another thing. Even if you know you're making the wrong decisions, you still do them anyway. Some of us are so stubborn. Lord, in this time, God says, I want to give you a new thing, but you're so stubborn. I keep releasing strategies and things in your life and telling you what I want to do with you, but you're so stubborn. You just got to have it your way. Sometimes we're addicted to this need to want to be in control. Don't stop trying to be the master of your life. Mm-mm. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to be so agitated. You're going to be more mad. You're going to, do you not know your way is not working? Do you not know your way? You can't even trust your feeling. The Bible even talks about it this way. He says your heart is deceitful. Is desperately wicked. He said, who can know it? You don't realize you'll put yourself in danger by trusting yourself. That's why you can't lean on your own understanding. The Bible is clear. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. God says, I want to give you direction. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. You got to get to a place in your life that, Lord, help me to be delivered from trying to trust my own self. Mm-mm. Help me to trust you. Trust your decisions. Because, and then in trusting, I'm going to be obedient. Stop trying to do it your way. Stop trying to do it your way. We are no better, but still won't choose better. God says, in order to get this reset, this new thing in your life, you got to get yourself in a place where you got to, you know, it's the wrong decision. You know it's the wrong, but you choose it anyway. Why? Because you're still trusting your own ability. All right. Here's another reason why some of us are showing these signs. It's because of trust issues. I know you've been broken. We've all been hurt. We've gone through things, but you can't let trust dictate your next move. God says, I got bigger and better and greater things that I want to release and do in your life. But is your trust issues keeping you from getting to the place that I have for your life? Your trust issues. We're going to hit more on that next week. All right. Here's what I want you to catch tonight. And this is what I'm going to wrap it up in. All right. God says, I'm looking for you to come out as a better person, but how are you handling your now? Help me, Lord, to handle my now correctly. What is it now that you want me to do? You want me to have laser focus, as someone would say, putting the blinders on, having the right perspective, all right? Here's how do I overcome these things. How do I overcome this place of this past and having to deal with areas of my life where I have failed? I've failed. I've made mistakes. You're tired of being in the same place with the same thing. How do I handle it? I'm just going to give you three, and I'm finished. We're going to pray and we out of here. I hope you got you some good notes tonight. We'll see you next week. Let me give you this. How do I do this? Number one, I cannot stay in the emotional place of embarrassment, anger, shame. When failure comes in our life, it is very uncomfortable. You still harboring on the last relationship, the last friendship, the last church, the last this didn't hurt you, and that hurt, and then even some of the ways that you realize that you've hurt yourself, and that you can't dwell in it. You can't get the better because you're so bitter. You can't get the better because you're so bitter. God says, I want to put you in a place in your life that, listen, to feel what you feel is natural, but you cannot stay there. Identify it, but don't live there. Deal, but don't live. You got it? Deal, but don't live. Number two, you have to also develop healthy coping mechanism. Now, this is when it becomes very serious and very practical, because what we like to do in church, we like praising, yeah, and holler and scream, but we don't have healthy coping mechanism. How do you cope? How do you deal with it? Who's in your circle? One of the ways, healthy ways, is having that strong friend. You may be the strong person in your life, but I'm going to talk to the person, the people that's on here, that you're the person that everybody depends on. I'm praying that God, you're the dependable person, that God gives you somebody you can depend on. You need somebody that you can lean on as well, who has what it takes, that can handle where you are. Talk to that strong friend. What is a strong? They not only can be a sounding board, a listening ear, but you need people in your life that can make you laugh. Isn't it good to just get on? You know, sometimes a good laugh will make what you're going through, it don't even feel as bad no more. You need somebody to keep you laughing in time. You don't just need people in your life to quote scriptures and speak of you, but you need it. Lord, I need people in my life that can speak the word and encourage me and give me sound advice, but I also need friends and people that can keep my energy up, keep my spirit up, that'll have me laugh. And here's another thing, all right? One of another good coping mechanisms is, I believe, is maybe going for a walk or watching some healthy, good shows that can be uplifting and positive. You have to set your atmosphere to make it conducive spirit that you're wanting to be able to project. I need something to be deposited into me on the inside so I can be effective. All right? So you want to deal with that. And last thing that I want you to realize is this. Overcoming irrational beliefs about failure. Realize this. In closing, you're not a bad person because you've messed up. We're going to hit on it some more next week. Don't let what happened define you, dictate you. I know it gets hard, and sometimes we look at ourselves and say, I can't believe I was this crazy. And then sometimes people don't make it any better, because rather than encourage us, they rather destroy us. You need somebody in your life that cares enough about you to say, I got you. I'm not only praying for your restoration, I'm supporting your restoration. Are you feeling better? Are you doing better? How are you feeling? Listen, let me be transparent for you just a moment, man. So many people around me have transitioned. I like to be transparent. I like to be open with people about truths. I found myself, I'm guilty of something the other day. I went to the store and I had got like almost like 3 packs of candy. I'm not even supposed to eat. I call myself wanting to work out and do better, but whatever. Found myself craving and desiring the things that excessively, not that it's wrong, but excessively agitated. God, I don't understand why. But support systems are there to hold you up. Who's holding you up? Why are you ministering? Why are you preaching? Why are you ministering, preaching? Why are you sharing? Why you been a mother? Why you been a father? Why you been a parent? Why you doing all these things? Who's holding you up? Who's encouraging you? Change some of your habits. I'm not telling you what to eat. I'm just telling you too much of anything is not good. God says, I want to put you in a place where I bless you beyond measure. I want to pray for you tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that those that's been dealing with emotions and fighting, distractions, the enemy has been fighting their mind, plaguing them, making them feel like they're not worthy enough, they're a bad person, not understanding that this has been a part of their development. And God, you've allowing all of these things to take place in their life because you have greater things for them. You're developing them for where they're going. And God, it's through our failures that we are reminded that you are our righteousness and we stand complete in you. Those that are grieving, heal, touch, deliver, strengthen. Pray for friendships, relationships. You'll bless us. Bless them in ways that are unmeasurable. Thank you, Lord. And now unto you, Lord, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power which works in us. We thank you, Lord, that the best is still yet to come. In Jesus' name. See, I will do a new thing in you. Continue to support us, push us. We want to bless, be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. Don't let what the world tell you dictate what God wants to do in your life. In the midst of it all, in the midst of a miserable pandemic, God will bless you beyond measure. I look forward to seeing and hearing great things God's going to do. This is Servant Derek Mercer Jr. I'll see you next week, same time. Peace out.
All right.